You are listening to RudolfSteinerAudio.com. If you're listening to the podcast of this, it is located at RudolfSteiner.podbean.com. Please consider becoming a patron. As well, there are two publishing houses, SteinerBooks.org in America and RudolfSteinerPress.com in England, who are the sole publishers of Steiner into English and have given me permission to do these recordings. Please consider patronizing them as well. This is a reading of Collected Works, Volume 27, by Dr. Rudolf Steiner and Dr. Ida Wegman, entitled Extending Practical Medicine, formerly known as Fundamentals of Therapy, translated by Anna Mois. This is Chapter 16, entitled Perceiving Medicinal Qualities. Substances to be considered for medicinal use must first of all be known in such a way that their potential powers outside and inside the human organism can be assessed. Only to a minor degree would this be a question of considering the potential actions investigated by conventional chemists. What matters is to observe the actions that arise in the context of the inner constitution of forces a substance has in relation to the forces that radiate from the earth or into it. Consider stibnite, gray antimony ore, from this point of view, for instance. Antimony relates strongly to the sulfur compounds of other metals. The sum total of sulfur properties remains constant within relatively narrow limits. It is sensitive to natural processes such as heating, combustion, etc. This also enables it to play a significant role in proteins, which separate completely from the earth forces and enter into the sphere of etheric actions. When antimony combines with sulfur on the basis of its affinity, it easily enters into the ether actions with it. It is thus easily introduced into protein activity in the human body, helping it to an ether action, when, due to some pathological condition, the body is not itself able to transform a protein taken in from outside and make it part of its own activity. But antimony also has other characteristics. Wherever possible, it seeks to assume a configuration of radiating masses. It organizes itself along lines that go away from the earth and towards the forces active in the etheric. With antimony, we therefore introduce something into the human organism that meets the action of the ether body halfway. The process involved in antimony liquation also points to the relationship the substance has to the ether. It becomes finely fibrous in the process. Liquation is a process that may be said to start below as something physical and becomes etheric up above. Antimony makes itself part of this transition. Antimony, which oxidizes on roasting, produces a white vapor on combustion that deposits on cold bodies to produce antimony bloom, valentinite. Antimony also has some power to resist electrical actions. If treated in a certain way by electrolysis and made to precipitate at the cathode, the precipitate will explode if touched with a metal pointer. All this shows that antimony has a tendency to enter easily into the ether element the moment conditions are even the least bit suitable. Seen with the eye of the spirit, all these details are mere pointers. for it has direct perception of the relationship between capital I activity and antimony actions, showing that antimony processes act like the I organization if introduced into the human organism. In the human organism, the blood shows a tendency to coagulate in its flow. This is the tendency which is under the influence of the I organization and has to be regulated under that influence. Blood is an intermediary organic product. Anything produced in the blood has gone through processes that are on the way to becoming processes of the full human organism, that is, the I organization. It still has to go through processes that fit in with the configuration of this organism. The nature of these will be apparent from the following. By coagulating on removal from the body, blood shows that it has an inherent tendency to coagulation and has to be continually prevented from coagulating in the human organism. The principle which prevents blood from coagulating is the one through which the organism makes it part of itself. It becomes part of the body's configuration through the form-giving forces that come immediately prior to coagulation. If coagulation were to occur, life would be put at risk. If we then have a pathological condition in the organism, which consists in a deficit of the forces that go in the direction of blood coagulation, antimony, in one form or another, will prove medicinal. The configuration of the organism is essentially a transformation of protein, which causes it to work together with mineralizing forces. Such forces are found in calcareous matter, for instance. The point is beautifully illustrated in the development of the oyster shell. The oyster has to get rid of the shell-producing process in order to maintain the inherent nature of its protein. The situation is similar for the development of an eggshell. In the oyster, calcareous matter is separated off so that it may not be incorporated in protein synthesis. In the human organism, this incorporation has to take place. Mere protein activity has to be transformed into an activity involving the configuring forces evoked in calcareous matter by the I organization. This has to happen within blood production. Antimony counteracts the force that eliminates calcareous matter, and because of its affinity with the ether element, takes protein that wants to preserve its form into the state of formlessness that is receptive to the influences of calcareous and similar matter. In the case of typhoid fever, it is evident that the pathological condition consists in protein being insufficiently converted to blood substance, capable of being configured. The type of diarrhea which develops shows that inability to make this conversion actually begins in the intestine. The severe clouding of the conscious mind, which develops, shows that the I organization is driven out of the body and cannot take effect. The reason for this is that the protein cannot reach the mineralizing forces in which the I organization is able to be active. This view is also supported by the fact that evacuations are infectious. The tendency to destroy the configuring forces is enhanced in them. suitable compound antimony preparations used to treat typhoid symptoms prove medicinal. They strip the protein of its inherent forces and make it inclined to adapt to the configuring powers of the eye organization. People taking the widely held points of view of today will say that views like those outlined here for antimony are not exact. They will refer instead to the exact nature of accepted chemical methods. However, when it comes to actions in the human body, the chemical actions of substances have, in fact, as little relevance as the chemical composition of a pigment has for the way a painter uses it. Yes, it would be a good idea for a painter to know something about the chemical point of origin, but the way he uses pigments when he is painting is based on another methodology. The same applies to the medical practitioner. He may take chemistry as a basis that has some significance, but the mode of action substances have in the human organism no longer has anything to do with this chemical aspect. Anyone who holds the view that only data established in chemistry, and that includes pharmaceutics, are exact, destroys the possibility of developing views on what happens when healing processes occur in the organism. The end of chapter 16.